Track 12, and now we come to our feature items. Our first feature item is one from the Newton Abbott Museum and will be read for us by Lorna.
Big cats on the loose. There are many myths and legends in the southwest of England about large black creatures that haunt the wild places in Devon and Cornwall. In early folklore, these beasts most often take the form of dogs rather than cats. There are the hell hounds that chase an evil squire who died in Buckfast Lee in 1677. The yeth hounds, the headless dogs that wail in the woods across Devon. Or the whist hounds that howl across Dartmoor in a hunt led by the devil. Other supernatural animals that frequently pop up in local myths include hares, often witches in disguise, and spectral horses. These legends inspired one of the most famous stories about Dartmoor, Arthur Conan Doyle's Hound of the Baskervilles. The moon was shining bright upon the clearing. There stood a foul thing, a great black beast shaped like a hound, a huge creature, luminous, ghastly and spectral. Interestingly, in the same story, Dr. Watson meets a butterfly collector called Mr. Stapleton while walking on Dartmoor. Given that Conan Doyle was inspired to write his book by real visits to Devon, particularly the dark atmosphere of the prison in Princetown, could he possibly have met our own Dr. Mapleton, also a butterfly collector, and inserted a version of him in his novel? If so, it was not a very flattering comparison, in that impassive, colourless man with his straw hat and his butterfly net, I seemed to see something terrible. It's in the 20th century that tales of monstrous animals encountered in the wild started to frequently be big cats rather than ghostly dogs. The most famous, perhaps, is the Beast of Bodmin in Cornwall, but Devon has its own Beast of Exmoor. These big cat sightings were frequent enough that in 1995 an official investigation was launched in Cornwall, although no evidence was found. These modern beast sightings increased in the 1970s. This makes sense, as owning an exotic animal such as a panther or leopard was quite legal in England until the Dangerous Wild Animals Act was passed in 1976. Now, owning a big cat was illegal. Perhaps people were letting them loose to get rid of them. We know this happened at least once. In 1978, a famous circus performer, Mary Chipperfield, was supposed to deliver 5 cats to Dartmoor Zoo, but only delivered 2. At the time, she claimed to have had vehicle trouble, which led to animals accidentally escaping. But people close to her suggested she did it on purpose, as she wanted her favourite cats to be free. Whether ghostly apparitions or descendants of escaped zoo animals, the sightings of big cats continues to this day.
Our second feature is from today's papers. Some things never change, as former columnist John Belmont reminds us. Retired journalist John has sent in a couple of articles he wrote back in 2020, both of which remain topical today. Get some glasses, ref. The halftime comedy show. During these strange times, it is nice to have a laugh, thanks to an abundance of comedy programmes on television. You know the ones, Dad's Army, Only Fools and Horses, Open All Hours, Porridge, Doc Martin, and the Video Assistant Referee Show. In actual fact, the VAR show during football matches has proved the biggest giggle of them all. You can't stop laughing at most of the decisions, so when are the clowns at the FA headquarters going to get the message that VAR was brought in to get everything right and correct the wrongs? Millions of viewers will testify it has gone completely the other way. There have been mutterings to scrap it. Hopefully it is here to stay, because these VAR comedy sketches are real gems and worth their weight in gold.
it's time to scrap this gravy train. With fewer and fewer people using buses and trains due to coronavirus, what is the point of the government carrying on with the building of HS2? In a government review, it is estimated this white elephant could cost more than £100 billion by the time it is finished. At a time when the country is strapped financially because of the pandemic, surely HS2 should have been thrown onto the scrap heap. Hopefully, people will eventually get over their fear and return to public transport. That is, if they can afford the rising fares. But why not spend some of the high-speed 2 money on improving the present rail network? The route is mapped out to run between London's Euston Station and Birmingham, and after that phase, on to Manchester before linking it up with Leeds and York, etc. It is estimated the HS2 London-Birmingham journey time will be slashed by just under half an hour. Big deal. Spending an enormous amount of money so that high-powered businessmen, probably the only ones who will be able to afford to use the service, can reach the capital half an hour faster. With more people working from home these days, they probably won't have any use of it anyway. Also, don't forget the cost of the wonderful countryside and wildlife this ridiculous scheme is destroying, all to save a few minutes.